Hi everyone, thank you for joining us on The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show. I'm Bruce Millington, and back from his holidays is Steve Palmer. We're looking ahead to the Tour Championship and the Czech Masters, and we'll look back on last week. First of all though, Steve, some pleasantries. How was your holiday and how are you?
Holiday was lovely. Kefalonia is a fantastic place. The weather was perfect, but back to earth with a bump. COVID-19 has struck.
Retro.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the new strain like?
I think the new strain is tougher than the last strain, to be honest. I was caught by surprise, and I'm full of fear and sweat.
Fear? Oh no, you'll be all right. You're a healthy young man. You've just come back from holiday. You're fully refreshed. I'm sure you'll beat it off no problem.
Yes. That's the plan. Yeah, I need to beat it off by the weekend so I can go and watch the Mighty Terrors. Who have made an amazing start to the National League South season.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. What was the holiday highlight?
You can't beat a Greek taverna, can you?
No, you absolutely can't. You really can't. No.
I have to be honest. I mean, I enjoy playing with the kids, but the Greek taverna, a cold pint would have been amazing.
Well, did you have a mythos or an A?
An alpha.
With a nice friendly proprietor, sort of, you know, being nice and friendly towards the kids and everything. It's just brilliant, isn't it? Lovely. And the sea lapping against the shore. Beautiful.
Yeah. It'd be lovely to do that every week of the year, wouldn't it? But we wouldn't have any sweet spots then, would we?
No, that's true. It swings and roundabouts. Okay, let's start our review section. I don't know how much you were keeping an eye on the golf. But if you watched the BMW Championship, you'd have seen an extraordinary, probably one of the greatest ever back nines by Victor Hovland, who came storming through, came home in 28 shots, eight threes and a four on a really tough back nine to sweep aside Matt Fitzpatrick and Scotty Scheffler and take the honours. Extraordinary performance, wasn't it?
It was one of the best rounds in PGA Tour history. It was the best round of Victor Hovland's career. You know, you could see he was literally shaking in disbelief. Do you see him on the 18th green afterwards? He was giving it all that. He had a sort of electricity going through him because it's very rare for golf. Yeah, this is a game we can't perfect, you know. And that was borderline perfection, wasn't it? And Hovland was having all sorts of reactions. I mean, you know, Olympia Fields is no picnic, you know. It's a really difficult golf course. But there was Hovland getting his picnic table out. Scotch eggs, cucumber sandwiches. Yeah, the lot. He was 3 under through five. And then, as you say, home in 28 for a 61. Yeah, I my jaw was dropping.
It's amazing. And what was really incredible, Steve, is that was that seven birdies or eight birdies on the back nine, whatever it was. None of his birdie putts was over 10 feet. So his approach play must have just been absolutely perfect, pretty much.
That's one heck of a ball striker, isn't it? And Rory McIlroy playing alongside him there. He enjoyed every minute of it. And, European Ryder Cup team are just full of beans, aren't they? Mm. I mean, I haven't been following the market moves, but, there's a real tail up, isn't there? If a team can have a tail, a team of humans can have a tail, their tail is up.
Yeah. Absolutely, no, it's extraordinary. I mean, Scheffler just three putted on 17. The putter was better, I thought, on last week, but still just let him down at the crucial moment. But if his putting was anything matching his approach play, I mean, he'd just win every tournament by 20 shots. He's unbelievable, isn't he? And his footwork, his dancing when he actually connects with his driver is getting more exaggerated. He's an amazing golfer, isn't he?
He is. And, he's standing like a broken record now in the post-tournament, interviews, because he said, I hit it great and I putted poorly, you know, and he looked demoralised. I think he's at the end of his tether now, is Scotty. I think he's a really short price this week.
OK, well, we'll get to that. Before that, we'll look at what happened in the ISPS Handa World Invitational, because there was another procession. We've had a few clear-cut wins lately, and this time it was Daniel Brown who took the event by the scruff of the neck and saw it out really well. Five-shot win. 55-1 he was at the outset, Steve, and I looked at the comment in the Racing Post. Obviously, if you get the Racing Post every Wednesday, you get comments for all the leading contenders. Brilliant service. And it pointed out that he was progressive. I think it was 17th and 7th in his previous 2 weeks. So what does the future hold for Daniel Brown?
Well, that was the icing on the cake of a rock solid rookie campaign. You know, he's taken to the DP World Tour like a duck to water. His nickname should be Ducky, Daniel Ducky Brown, because he hadn't missed a cut all year until the European Open in June. You know, you get most rookies come on and they're struggling to make a cut and they take a while to adjust. He was just feeding the bank manager every week. And then, and now he's 35th in the Race to Dubai rankings. Age of 28, career going bananas. So yeah, delighted for Ducky Brown. It was heartwarming, and yeah, good for English golf. I mean, Alex Fitzpatrick. Do you want to talk about him? I think we should talk about him. He won on the Challenge Tour at the start of the month, and it's clearly we have two Fitzpatricks on our radar. I mean,
they were both runner up at the weekend, weren't they?
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. He's 4 years younger. Alex is 4 years younger than Matt. You know, who is to say that he won't become Matt, so to speak? You know, I think Alex is potentially good enough to become Matt, if you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I do. He looks a little bit more fun as well, doesn't he? Matt's sort of squareness and his geekiness is just getting worse, isn't it? Like making notes as he dolefully walks up each hole and all that. Just lighten up. It's just golf, mate. Just go out and swing it. I'm not sure about that. I mean, it's obviously working for him. He's got about £50 million more than me. But I mean, you do think sometimes just go out and play, don't you?
Yeah,
Or do you not think that?
I don't know. I mean, if we're playing the Who Would You Rather Be game, I think, we both agree that we'd rather be Matt Fitzpatrick. Having fun or not, I'm sure he has a lot of fun when he's lifting US Open trophies.
But younger brother just looks like he plays in a slightly less kind of, analytical fashion, I suppose.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He looks a cheeky chappy, doesn't he? Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that. But I think the Fitzpatricks are firmly on our radar until the day we die.
OK, fine. And a quick shout out to Alexa Pano, who won the women's ISPS Handa tournament in a 3-way playoff on her 19th birthday, of all things. And she said that she realised the final round of the tournament coincided with her birthday a couple of months ago and made it her vow to win it. And she did. So fair play to her. Thanks for your input on that.
Maybe if she should vow to win every week, then she might win every week. Yeah, that's good. Good vowing.
Very much so. Does that wrap up? Spectacularly wrap up the review section of the show. Should we look ahead?
I think we have to.
Okay, then. Tour Championship at East Lake. The top 30 who've qualified for this are competing for about £200 zillion. And it is that tournament with the strange handicap system. Depending on how well you've fared so far, this system, you'll be allotted a start. I've got all the starts noted down here. Scheffler gets 10 shots. Victor Hovland gets 8. Rory gets 7. John Rahm gets 6. Lucas Glover gets 5. Who would have thought that before you went on holiday, Steve? Lucas Glover was hadn't sprung to life like that. I'm not going to go for more. Cantlay, Harmon, Clark, Fitzpatrick get 4, and then it's 3 and all that. Where have you gone? You've disappeared.
Yeah, I just went to blow my hooter, actually.
Oh, I see. And you were couth enough to do it out of the viewer's eye shot.
I thought couthness was essential there.
Yeah, good. I like it. Obviously, because of the handicap system and the limited field, it's a fairly unfamiliar look to a market. I haven't got great big price favourites. Scheffler currently 6-4. Rory McIlroy 130, Hovland 5-1, Rahm 8, Cantlay 18, and then it's 28-1 bar. Tell us all about East Lake before we get you fancy, Steve.
Yes, the famous East Lake Golf Club, Atlanta, Georgia, 7,346 yards, par 70, only 2 par 5s. It's hosted this event in 1998, 2000, 2002, and from 2004 onwards. We got a long par 70 here. The fairway is notoriously difficult to hit. Firm, fast greens are pretty much guaranteed. We've got a sub-air drainage system. So again, picnic tables need to be left in the car. We'll see whether anyone does a Hovland this week. The format, you've pretty much got it sussed there. You don't need me to say any more, do you? Some players start with a 10-shot deficit. Scotty Scheffler's in pole position. I suppose it's like an F1 race, if you will. In that regard, just without the cars, $75 million is the prize pot, with 18 million going to the winner. Yeah, this is, yeah, they
18 million pounds.
They shove it up every year. They shove it up every year. And yeah, it's getting crazy now. And I mean, what's also being shoved up this year is the temperature. 37C. We've got some 37C over the first 2 days. Sunny and calm. Small thunderstorm threat on Sunday afternoon.
Nice one. Okay, I better sort of the interludes I do. It better be slightly longer, I suppose, to allow you to rest your ailing COVID-stricken voice box. Would you appreciate that?
I would appreciate that. Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, I've said all I've got to say. How many selections? If you've got four, don't worry. You are very much exempt from saying four. How many selections?
I have two selections.
Okay. Now, you're not going to be tipping Scotty Scheffler because you said earlier you think he's a very short price. So who are you tipping?
I do. I'd be laying Scotty Scheffler if I had the means. But I will be backing Rory McIlroy at 7-2. I will be backing the king of Eastlake. I think he further cements his status this week. We had him last year at 12-1 for this. He started the event six shots behind. This time he can have 7-2 with him only three shots off the pace. I think that's a bargain.
Ask me if I remember last year, because I watched the full swing episode only 2 days ago. So it's etched very firmly in my mind. It's
brilliant.
Good. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah. It was a great golf tournament, wasn't it? Yeah, lots of banter with the Scheffler parents afterwards. Yeah, lots of fine young men doing their business. So, yeah, I'm glad you remember that one. But do you remember what Rory McIlroy did in his first hole? Did they show that in the full swing episode? I think they did, didn't he? The first hole of the golf
tournament. It was awful. Yeah, it was embarrassing, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was a triple bogey seven.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So he triple bogeyed.
He went OB on the left, didn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. Very unfortunate with some heavy rain coming down. Perhaps a bit of moisture on the club handle there. So, OB on the first, made a seven, bogeyed the second hole. So he's 10 shots behind with 70 holes to play and still wins the Ruddy Golf Tournament. I mean, how much freedom is that going to give him on that first tee this year? He knows basically he can card an 11 and he'll still be the man to beat. You know, he's still the man to beat. Yeah.
Well,
I just think he feels invincible now at Eastlake. That's Rory. He's won this tournament three times in the last 7 years. In the first of the handicap events in 2019, he started five shots behind, won the tournament by four shots. He's driving such an asset at this venue, and his motivation for FedEx Cups is always enormous. I mean, after the major season ended this year, I was expecting a bit of gloominess from Rory. You know, another season gone without any major wins. But he straight away started talking about the FedEx Cup, started talking about the DP World Tour rankings double. He did that last year, won both of them. And yeah, that's an express target to repeat the FedEx DP World Tour double. He leads the DP World Tour ranking. So, McIlroy fully focused and playing great. His ball striking in the last fortnight has been excellent. He's had a cold putter. He's talking about switching up the putter again, but he's not in a Scheffler-like putting slump. Rory McIlroy has finished in the top 10 in his last nine tournaments. He won the Scottish Open, runner-up in the US Open. Yeah, I think a fourth FedEx Cup's coming for Rory on Sunday. So that'll be four wins in the last eight.
Nice one. Excellent. Rory is Steve's main selection for the Tour Championship. Oh, I thought you were going to take a swig of drink there. I was toying with it,
but I saw the Diet Coke's not even open yet, so I thought that might cause a commotion.
I'll do a longer piece after you've told us your second tip, and then you'll be able to do it. Okay, right.
So here's your second explosion, tip. And that'll be that. The second tip is a European Ryder Cup teammate, Tommy Fleetwood, as my son calls him, 60-1. Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, I talked about that great camaraderie among the Europeans last week. Yeah, Victor Hovland was bantering with Rory about the Ryder Cup. Tommy Fleetwood was one of the first on the scene to congratulate Hovland. I think the Europeans are growing in confidence about this Ryder Cup. I think the Tour Championship will add to that belief. I see McIlroy winning, but I wouldn't put it past Tommy Fleetwood finishing runner up. Yeah, he's been playing consistently well. He was fifth at Quail Hollow, runner-up in the Canadian Open, fifth in the US Open, sixth in the Scottish Open, tenth in the Open, third in the St. Jude Championship. He hasn't got a trophy this year, but he's swinging great. He's carded some super low rounds. He's got a seven-shot starting deficit this week. I think he can eat into that quite quickly. And I think it'll suit Fleetwood to come from behind like this. You know, he may not get into the, you know, close to the lead until the back nine Sunday. You know, he can play pressure-free golf until then, slowly but surely move past the 10 players ahead of him. This is his third East Lake visit, a couple of decent spins. Yeah, get as many each way places as you can. You get five each way places with some firms. Tommy Fleetwood.
Okay, excellent. Oh, you can have a quick swig. I've just got one more question to ask you about this. Just in terms of, I can't remember how many years we've had this handicap thing. It sort of seems about five, but it's probably more. But
2019 was the first. 2019.
Okay, well, there you go then. And is there much? What's the front runner's record been like in this?
Good question. I remember Patrick Cantlay folding from the front. Scheffler obviously was in the lead last year and got pipped by a shot at the death. Not particularly good, I don't think.
Okay, but your point with Scheffler is that even though he's got this start, it's just the putting woes that put you off him, is it?
Yeah, and the heartache from last year. I mean, he was leading all the way last year, then lost his way coming
home.
Will
he remember that?
Oh, he'll remember that. He'll remember that. Yeah. I think the only way Scheffler can salvage this season, it seems funny to say, for he's won two PGA Tour titles this year. Most players would be cock-a-hoop with this season, but this is a wasted season of elite ball striking from Scheffler. Mm-hmm. He's not won any majors. And I think the only way he can salvage this season is by winning a first FedEx Cup. I think he wants it badly. I think the first day is crucial. If he putts poorly on day one, I think the head goes down and I think he gets swamped. I think the three players just behind him, Hovland, McIlroy and Rahm, much better bets.
Interesting. Because those three will all be on the European team. I know you hate Ryder Cup sort of premature build up, but it is looking like it's going to be quite an interesting, well, an absolutely fascinating tournament, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. No, we'll throw ourselves into that closer to the time. I mean, I think the speculation I do find incredibly dull speculating. I mean, it's no point. Who cares what we think? Who should be on the team? Who cares? There's only two people that matter and we don't know what they think.
That's fair enough.
Sorry, okay. I got a bit
I think
aggressive.
Some people might care aggressive. What you think. But no,
I got too aggressive there. No, I have heard Ludvig Åberg is a lock for the team. I've got sources close to the team. What I will say on the matter is, I think what happens in the next couple of weeks is not that important, really.
The writing's on the wall.
Yeah, I think they know they want. I think particularly with the European team, I think it's based on statistical analysis. You know, Eduardo Molinari is a big player in that European camp. I think it's based on statistical analysis of what the players can bring to the party, not their form. So I think, I've heard.
Presumably, though, someone could automatically qualify this, you know, by
oh, sure, for sure,
this
sure,
weekend.
Sure,
next.
For sure,
yeah.
For sure,
okay.
For sure,
well, the sure. Picture will become clearer. And yeah, don't forget the Ryder Cup takes place in the last, I think it actually ends on October the 1st this year. I was at it down as a September tournament, but I think it finishes on Sunday, October 1. Before then, we've got the Czech Masters that starts on Thursday and a decent field here because you've got some players who are desperately trying to force their way onto the Ryder Cup team and they are giving the market a good old look, by which I mean it looks better than it normally does. You know, normally we trot out Otter Gay and, you know, all these other people, but we've got some big names here. Sorry, that was a very inelegant way of saying it's a good tournament. Shane Lowry, we've got joint favourites here. Shane Lowry, Adrian Meronk and Ludvig Åberg. They're all 12-1. Nikolai Højgaard is 16s. I want you to tell me all about Adrien Dumont de Clercq. He's 20s. Rasmus Højgaard, 22. Robert McIntyre, 25. Bjork, 28. 33 bar. Who is this guy? Because we were chatting with James Mason last week. I got a list of Ryder Cup prices. And he was on it at like 5-2. I'm like, I've literally never heard of this man. Who the dickens is he?
He's made a barnstorming start to his Korn Ferry Tour career. And he won his first event and then he nearly won his second event.
I wonder if
away.
That sentence has ever been uttered in the history of mankind. He's made a barnstorming start to his Korn Ferry Tour career.
He does look ruddy good. I mean, I can't stop thinking about Chicken Chasseur when I do his name. This is Adrien Dumont de Chasseur, isn't it? I remember growing up, my mum used to make a lot of chicken chasseurs. I mean, is that a thing? Is that still a thing?
You can get it in a packet mix, I think.
Can you? Yeah. I used to enjoy a chicken chasseur. But I think, yeah, he's got a lot of potential, this lad. I think it's just a bit too early. I think if you're going to throw in, if you're talking Ryder Cup, I think you need to, I think there's not enough places on the team
you
to get.
You can't be putting someone in just because he's doing well on the right on the Corn Ferry Tour, can you? I mean,
well, say he won 10 Corn Ferry Tour events in a row, then you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I mean, he's never out of the top 10. He has made a barnstorming start to his Corn Ferry Tour, but there's not enough place in this team. If you sat me down and said pick the European Ryder Cup team, I'd definitely run out of players. You know, I want the Hogards on there. I want Ludvig Åberg on there. You know,
you said we don't care what you think.
Yeah, well, no, we don't care. We don't care. I don't care what I think. You don't
care.
I
care what you think. I care what you think about the Czech Masters, particularly.
Do you?
Yeah. So tell us what you think after you've told us all about the venue.
Yes, the Albatross Resort, Prague, Czech Republic, 7,468 yards, par 72, 4 par fives. The Czech Masters was created in 2014. It's hosted this event every year apart from 2020, COVID-19, which clearly is never going to go. Long and exposed, bomber's paradise. Thomas Peters, we haven't mentioned him for a while on Sweet Spot. He's won here twice. That's the sort of player you're looking at. We've got a sunny and calm start to this event. Cloudy and cool over the weekend. 156 players going to post.
Excellent. Okay, then how many selections have you got, mate?
Four.
For jolly good, that's fine. And if you missed the early part of the show, Steve's exempt from shouting for because he's got COVID. Okay, then who is the main person to be your Czech mate?
Nikolaj Hoger, who opened up at a ludicrous 22-1 yesterday. Still a backable price at 16s. I don't know why you're chuckling, but I'll go along with it. Why are you chuckling?
No, you just like, you went all sort of Brian Blessed there. You went very deep. There was real earnest passion to the way you tipped him.
I love Brian Blessed. Is he still alive?
Mm. Oh, by the way, I noticed. Oh, no, I don't. I think so, yeah. I noticed, by the way, that this will not be beaten video from Britain at the Bookies was shown on Australian TV last week to much mirth from the studio guests. It never gets old.
It's gone viral, hasn't it? I mean, if you're going off on in Australia, definitely gone viral. So, yeah, pleased about that. But, yeah, Nikolaj Hoger, he opened up at 22-1. He's still a backable price at 16s. I mean, you know my love for Ludvig Åberg. I have just as much passion for Nikolaj Hoger. And when they opened up at 12-1 and 22-1 yesterday, it was an easy selection. They're both superstars in the making, but Hoger is the one with course experience and he's a bigger prize. He finished 17th in his only previous Czech Masters, 2021. He was ranked 408th in the world rankings going into that event. He was a DP World Tour maiden. Now he's world number 105. He's a two-time DP World Tour champion. Have I lost you, Bruce?
I was trying to do that. I was trying to spook you out by making out I'd frozen and you fell for it.
Blimey, that was a brilliant one.
Sorry.
I'm concerned. I mean, it didn't look like something really bad had happened to you.
No, I'll go back to nodding. Sorry, go on.
I was the one that might die in this podcast. I thought you'd gone then. I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, so he's coming into this event totally different now. And last time out, Wyndham Championship, as you well know, unsuitable venue for Nikolaj Hoger. He finished 14th in that. Yeah, the Albatross is perfect for him. I'm glad you're safe and well.
No, I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. Okay, so Nikolaj Hoger is Steve's main selection for the Czech Masters. The number two tip?
Adrian Maronk, another prime candidate for the European Ryder Cup team. I want Hoger on there. I want Maronk on there. The 40 million people of Poland want Maronk on there. We're dreaming of seeing him tee up for Europe at the Marco Simone. I think he bolsters his chances with contending at the Czech Masters. They're both phenomenal drivers, these two. The Albatross is a dreamy setup for them. Maronk finished tied for 17th place in that 2021 edition I mentioned. And Maronk was world number 216 going into that event. He also was a DP World Tour maiden. Now he's world number 52 and he's a three-time DP World Tour champion. So, yeah, I think they're both really, really solid wagers, these two.
Okay, who's the third selection?
Thorbjørn Olesen. 35-1, who finished fifth on his Czech Masters debut in 2015, having arrived in miserable form. He'd missed his last four cuts, but he fell in love with the Albatross. This is his second appearance there this week. You know, room off the tee, low scoring event. It's ideal for Olesen. And yeah, this will be an eighth DP World Tour title if he wins. You know, he's disrespected this week. You know, nobody's talked about Olofsson for the Ryder Cup. I mean, but you're chuckling. He won an event by four shots in February. He was a Ryder Cup winner in 2018. You know, he thrashed Jordan Spieth in the singles at Le Golf National. If he wins this week, it's entirely feasible. He's a Ryder Cupper again.
Brilliant. Okay, so we've got Hogard, Maronk, Olofsson, and
Gavin Green at 50-1, who loves this layout. It's ideal for his all guns blazing approach. He's the course record holder. Shot 63 here. He was third on debut in 2018. He was runner up last year. I think he's a must for the staking plan because over the last 6 months, he's had seven top 20s. That includes eighth place in the British Masters last month. So, Gavin Green, I can't go into battle without him. He's coming back from a long break, but a lot of them are.
I thought, well, there hasn't been a DP World Tour event for ages, has there, apart from last week, obviously. How close were you to being Ludvig Åberg? I thought he'd be an absolute certainty for the plan.
Extremely close, massive chance. He should fall in love with the course. Future world number one. Don't think there's any doubt about that. But I just prefer, slightly bigger prices about my men. Yeah, they've both been back, which is disappointing. But once those opening shows come out, I had no choice but to abandon Åberg. Yeah, if he makes a sluggish start on his first round at this course, I think Hogar and Maron could be away and gone, my friend.
Okay, let's reiterate the tips. Tour Championship.
Rory McIlroy, Tommy Fleetwood.
And I will reiterate that's on the handicap, which is the main one. You can, if you want to, just bet on who shoots the lowest 72-hole score, but no one seems that interested in that. So that's on the handicap list. And then we've got four for the Czech Masters.
Nikolai Hogar, Adrian Maronk, Thorbjørn Olofsson and Gavin Green.
Lovely. Thank you very much indeed, Steve. So you're hoping to get better so you can go to football at the weekend. Will you have to retest before you go to football?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to infect the whole of the Weymouth FC support, would I? I will do that. Yeah, I'm a responsible citizen.
Jolly good.
I'm literally dripping in sweat, Bruce, literally.
Oh, poor old you. Oh, dear. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Steve. Well, get better soon, my friend, and get better in time for next week's sweet spot when the European Masters is the tournament that's being previewed. We've just got one next week, I think, haven't we?
It's the final Ryder Cup qualification event. So we can have a really good chat about it next week if you want. I'm sorry I got aggressive when you brought up the subject of the Ryder Cup earlier.
You didn't. No, it's fine, mate. You were very passionate. Good to see you, Steve. I'm glad you're back. I hope COVID leaves you alone soon. And I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend, enjoys the golf, hopefully backs a winner or two, and joins us next Tuesday for another sweet spot.